Tim Mahoney. I now direct, executive director of the Gambling Control Board. I think many of you know I served with some of you, spent 20 years in the House. It's been an interesting transition, and I'm looking I have found it to be, well, it's a number of things. It's a lot of fun, a lot of work. It's interesting to be a regulator versus a policymaker. And I hope you all have forgiven, all my past colleagues have forgiven me some of my transgressions. Madam Chair, that's about all I've got here.
Thank you, Director Mahoney. If you would just spend a minute or two and probably pull your mic a little closer, giving us a brief overview of the work that you're doing for the Gambling Control Board, yes. That'd be great.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I can certainly do that. I have been at the Gambling Control Board for 9 months now. I have, it's been interesting. The mission statement, as I remember it, and I actually had someone send it to me because I didn't remember it exactly, is to regulate lawful gambling, to ensure the integrity of operations, and to provide for the use of net profits only for lawful purposes. It is an honor, actually, to serve the state of Minnesota and work for the state government. I believe that if the state of Minnesota is going to do gambling, it has to be honest. It has to be clear on its rules. It has to be, it has to have integrity to it, because otherwise the gambling customers won't feel comfortable, and they will turn to places where they law enforcement has to be involved. We do at the Gambling Control Board. We regulate an industry that is approximately $4.3 billion every year in sales, gross revenue. Of that $4.3 billion, 85% has to go back to the gambling public. And we have to, we have so much data coming in talking about who, what, where money is, where it's going, how it gets there. I want to thank the body that a couple of years ago you gave us the money to put in a new database system. Ours was a hodgepodge of chicken wire and Band-Aids built back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I think we all know how far we have come. That has been an eye-opener for me for how much data we get. And we get it daily. And understand then that in Pull Tabs, which is a charitable organization driven for charitable purposes, involves alcohol, gambling, primarily senior citizens, and volunteers. What could possibly go wrong? And every month, we have four departments, the admin, investigators, licensing, and compliance. And every month, the compliance officers, which is about 20 to 25, spend a significant amount of their time going back to the organizations, and the gambling managers, and the volunteers, correcting forms. But we need all of those forms to make sure that I won't mention what has gone wrong, but I will say that significant numbers get those forms wrong. And we are launching, after this session is done and I'm done trying to figure out what you folks are doing, we're going to try and simplify the forms, make them easier and easier. Our website is 15 years old. And we are, you also gave us money to do the websites. So I want to thank you for both the website and the data. But our goal is to make, for the gambling control, our gambling managers, volunteers can go on our website, find the correct form and fill it out and submit it electronically. When I started 9 months ago, we still took a significant number of forms via fax machine and then had to hand enter into our system because our system did not allow us to scan and enter. We've got a lot on our plate a couple weeks from now, but that's going to be even more fun to try to make it simpler for people around the state. We do $4.3 billion. 85% goes back to the gamblers. It's approximately, without having that sheet of paper in front of me, $624 million is left over. Out of that comes all of the expenses, all of the taxes, and the charitable donations. And this year, it may be in my bio, I don't know, there was $131 million left over for charitable giving. I have some concerns about how that works and where it goes, but that's something we're going to deal with as we move forward and this session is over. $131 million doesn't all go to charities, charitable organizations. A lot of it is used for salaries and other things, and we want to make sure we're tracking that better and more transparent. When the governor hired me, and I asked him, well, what do you want? He said, I want transparency, and I want honesty, and I want openness. And I have strived to live up to that.
Thank you. Members, do you have questions? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mahoney, former legislator, in your 9 months as a commissioner of the Gambling Control Board, have you found the most challenging, and what do you see as an ongoing challenge in your position or in within the control oversight of the board?
Director Mahoney.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson. The governor asked me to be honest and open. The infighting amongst the organization, not the organizations themselves, but the gambling industry as a whole. It's this pull tabs and that which we work within and regulate is supposed to be for charities. It's supposed to craft money or create money, I should say, for, you know, Johnny and Jane's hockey sticks. It is supposed to help smaller communities to equip their police, their fire, their parks. And I wish we could do better at that.
Senator Anderson? Are there other questions, members? Senator Curran.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mahoney, you addressed one of the concerns. I appreciate you acknowledging where the dollars go, and we all share the value. We want every single dollar possible going to the appropriate use, right? In, as you described, our youth sports, fire departments, it's the best local dollar we have. You talked about the $131 million as being a concern, and the expenses and the utilization of it. But in addition to that, I think in that last calendar year, $180 million was paid in state tax just for those organizations as well. But that's not a concern as far as taking a threat. And what we'd want to know is how will you advocate? We need the oversight, and those things are good. Hopefully the tools that we funded provide you the ability to hone and put your efforts on the high value. But how will you help advocate because of the infighting that we see in this legislative process today? The charitable organizations are under assault, clearly, or at least I think in reality they're under assault. One from the state level, from the taxation, but two from the policies that appear to further hinder their ability to continue to drive those great local dollars. Where are you going to be on that? In advocating, you're the leader, and our leaders of this organization are one, enforcement, but two, advocate and provide recommendations to the legislature. And so I would like to know a little bit about how you're going to help preserve the pull tab revenue or the gaming organizations as it evolves into maybe possibly trying to get the electronic e-pull tab. We know that's under assault in the tax bill today. But what position will you take, and how will you help us advocate to preserve that, to meet the goals of what that electronic game was intended to be? I think we can preserve both. But you're going to be a key leader in advocating the things that will work or won't work. And so where will you be in trying to preserve for all of our charitable organizations to continue that revenue flow and to increase, one, its opportunity, and then, two, the dollars that will actually be available to the local entities in which we serve, from veterans, ramps for veterans housing, to rental assistance, to all the sports and all the other activities that you spoke of earlier. Thank you.
Director Mahoney.
Madam Chair, Senator Curran, there's 4.5 billion rumors out there as to what's going to happen. I will follow the law that this organization, the two chambers, and the governor direct me to follow. I truly do not believe most of the rumors. The changes in the tax bill, I've heard that it's going to be cut electronic pull tabs by 90%, and I have heard that it's going to cut it by 5%. So you can throw a dart and land somewhere in between there and take whatever number you want. But at the end of the day, if you pass a law that says I have to follow XYZ, we will regulate to XYZ. And the governor, I think there's a lot of smart people in this chamber and the House chamber. I think there's a lot of smart people in the governor's office. I have presented the numbers, the aspect, what we expect, and I'm sure the governor will make a good decision as to whether to sign or not sign whatever you put forth to him. Advocating it, I am the regulator. I'm not a policy advocate.
Madam Chair.
Senator Curran.
Thank you, Mr. Honey. I would love to see the opportunity. I would love to see that you operate in the manner in which you stated and the regulatory piece, but you'd be probably the only governor-appointed person who would attempt to achieve that goal. You are the expert, and you will then be in a position. You can say that you're there to not advocate or for policies and those types of things, but you are going to be the regulator, and there's no way you could possibly be successful without advocating policies as you go and you venture into your work, and to try and figure out what are those things that are inhibiting you from doing your job legislatively and those that would help you. And so I think what you stated is a noble goal, but clearly can't happen. And so we want to make sure that we can work together, because the last person that advocated for Minnesota that served in your role was removed because of differing opinions, because I think he had the best interest in the state of Minnesota and is working across the board. He was an advocate for Minnesotans. And I think to say that you won't be an advocate from a policy perspective, it would be very difficult for you to even function and not advocate in one way or another, because we're going to look to you. You're the sole expert to give us the pulse of what's happening in real time and how do we empower you to do the things that we think best serve Minnesota. So I hope you operate on the manner in which you just described. Thank you.
Director Mahoney, thank you. I will say in my tenure serving that I have often turned to the people who are appointed by a governor, whether they are commissioners of agencies or in other powerful positions, as you are, seeking advice, and have always gotten good advice. But there has also always been a clear line drawn between the work that I'm empowered to do by the voters, which is to set the state's policy, and the responsibility for those who are appointed to do the work to implement that policy. And when I was newer in my work, it would frustrate me because I would turn sometimes to people in positions like yours for solutions. And I was often reminded that the responsibility to implement rested with those appointed, but the ideas and the setting of the policy rested with those of us who are elected in these positions in which we serve. And I hear you articulating something that aligns with that, and I appreciate that and know that when I have come to you with questions, you've been very forthcoming. I appreciate that very much. But I also really appreciate that you respect the role that I have and the role that you have in serving Minnesotans. I just want to be clear about that. Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Welcome, Representative Mahoney. How are you?
It's not representative anymore. Although I guess I get that title for the rest of my life. I appreciate that.
Nice to see you. Good to see you. So you've been at this role for a while now, approaching a year sometime coming up. So you've got some much more wisdom than you did when you jumped into the role. As you look at the agency and, you know, and carrying out the laws that are created here for the agency and its function, are there any areas in law that you would recommend to us that we look at in terms of providing for some of the things you talked about, more clarity, transparency, a better ability to make certain that the law is followed properly to help your agency do that? Is there anything that pops into your mind now that you've been down the trail a little while that we should think about maybe for next session or the session after?
Director Mahoney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Senator Drazkowski, you should never, never ask me to talk about something that pops into my mind. That is one of the things that we will look at this summer as we move forward. Are there ways that we can better track the charitable giving? Is there ways that we can make it simpler or more profitable for the charities? Are there ways that we can do things better? And I think that's going to start with our website and our new data system. And if you want to sponsor, if I can come up with some ideas, certainly help you craft a bill. And I would ask that you come to the agency or ask me to stop in your office, and I will tell you what is regulatory, what we can regulate, and what we can't regulate. I have seen a good number of bills this year, and I have told my staff, because they've been doing it for 30 years, my first question to them is, what can we regulate, what we can't regulate in this particular piece of legislation that someone is proposing? And if they take our advice, they recraft something, reword it, take something out. But do I tell them, I want you to do to remove the form RJ125.2? No, I don't tell them that. I don't tell them that. I probably wouldn't tell you that. I will show you what you've done right and what you've done wrong as a regulatory agency should. But as far as ideas, we haven't gone into that at this particular point.
Senator Jaskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, and is it Commissioner now? What do we call it?
Director.
Director Mahoney. Thank you.
Other questions, members? All right, then.
Thank you.
Do you have any closing statements for us, Director Mahoney? Brief closing statements, Director Mahoney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm enjoying this job, and I think when I left the legislature, I did not realize how much I missed trying to help the state. And I took this job because I missed that particular part of my life in my day-to-day moving forward. And I hope you will allow me to continue to try to do my part to improve how the state works, how the state moves forward, how it helps people, whether it's, as we've said, the police and fires of small towns or the kids at the Parkway Little League.
All right. Thank you for appearing before us today, Senator Jaskowski. Would you like to move the confirmation of the appointment of Tim Mahoney to be the director of the Gambling Control Board?
I would, Madam Chair. I'd like to move that Tim Mahoney be confirmed. How are we saying? Confirmed as director of the Minnesota Gambling Control Board.
Right. Thank you. For the motion, Senator Jaskowski. Are there questions? Senator Jaskowski moves that we recommend the confirmation of the appointment of Tim Mahoney to be the director of the Gambling Control Board. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed, say no. The motion is adapted.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Congratulations.
Thank you, members of the committee.
Have a great day. Welcome to the committee, Senator Klein. We're going to be taking up Senate File 1949, Senator Klein's proposal on lawful sports betting, and I'd like to move, Senator Mitchell will move that we take Senate File 1949 off the table. All those in favor? I don't even have to say that. We're going to lift this bill up off the table. Senator Klein, what we have before us is the proposal that we amended last week. And we're here to complete the work of the bill, including members' questions. We did have testimony. So if you'd like to just give us the briefest of overviews, and then we can go to questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for once again revisiting this bill. And I understand it's an extremely busy time of year. I'm grateful for the committee's time and attention. I'm also grateful that in a bipartisan way last week, you allowed me to add 4 amendments to this bill. And I won't review them in precise detail, but I do think they improved the bill. They fell into 4 basic categories. One was a good faith effort to try to accommodate and sustain our horse tracks, our 2 horse tracks in the state of Minnesota. The committee recognizes that despite that offer, this bill does not at the current time enjoy the support of the horse tracks, but it was an offer that we made, recognizing their significance to our state as a destination experience. There was a second amendment that was technical cleanups. There was a third amendment that was accommodating a request from the University of Minnesota to adjudicate their sports governing body for regulations. And lastly, there was a significant amendment that provided some consumer protections around legalized sports wagering in the state of Minnesota. And Madam Chair, I'm open to the committee's discussion and questions.
Thank you very much, Senator Klein. So members, I know we have to re-engage our brains on the work that started a week ago. And we're here today with questions for Senator Klein. Senator McQuaid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I am trying to center my brain back on this, and I apologize if I'm flipping through the bill. We had talked a little bit about the fiscal note, but I wonder if, Senator Klein, you could just give us a top line. What revenue are we expected to generate? And then did I read it accurately that the revenue generated from this is split 50-50 into 2 things, and can you tell me what those 2 things are?
Senator Klein.
Madam Chair and Senator McQuaid, yes. The projected revenues At this time, I don't have the fiscal note in front of me, but off the top of my recollection, are estimated to be in the range of $30 million. So the levy on the tax rate on legalized sports wagering will be 10%. Under the amendment that you adopted last week, initially 3% overall will go to the tracks. Once that reaches a cap of $20 million, that will be capped at $33 million a year. The remainder of revenues from sports wagering will go 50% to grants to the Department of Human Services to address problem gambling and also to raise awareness of problem gaming in our state, to perform studies on wagering habits and address potential risky areas of underage use and so forth. So that's 50% goes to sort of the public health aspect. The other 50% will be directed to sustain and uplift youth athletic activities in the state of Minnesota, particularly directed to communities with a high rate of juvenile crime. So trying to divert people from nefarious activities to maybe sports, et cetera. So.
Senator McQuaid. Thank you, Madam Chair. That was incredibly helpful. Thank you, Senator Klein.
Yeah.
Then I had one other question, and I was trying to find it too. Is there a new crime that is created for wagering or sports betting for people who are under 21? Senator Klein.
Madam Chair and Senator McQuaid, yes. There are several new, actually, criminal penalties within this bill. We went over them pretty carefully in the Judiciary Committee, ranging from misdemeanor to felony offenses based on sort of the scale and scope of the crime. And I would have to get the bill out. Well, let me get the bill out. But yes, there are criminal penalties for underage use.
Senator McQuaid, thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Klein, and I don't want you to have to rehash, we're not the Judiciary Committee, so you don't have to go into that. I think I was thinking more from our agency and department funding, if that would maybe have an impact on incarceration rates and thus maybe the Department of Corrections and that kind of stuff. So if you point me to the page, I can look at it myself. Senator Klein.
Madam Chair, and I can certainly work with Senator McQuaid offline to resolve those questions.
Other questions, members? Senator Coran.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Klein, I appreciate Senator McQuaid for the revenue, but that's just the state forecasted revenue, correct? The $30 million?
Senator Klein.
Madam Chair and Senator Coran, correct.
So, Madam Chair.
Senator Coran.
Senator Klein, so what's the forecasted revenue? So, I mean, I think just for everybody out and that our parents, our moms who may be watching today, the very interested people. The total revenue, so the tribes will get they'll issue all the licenses, they'll get all the revenue for those. They will have 100% of the revenue generated in premise, all their premise base. And then, and or I assume it gives them opportunities to open up other brick and mortar. But then all mobile off reservation is state revenue, and that's what that $30 million is forecasted in.
Senator Klein.
Madam Chair, Senator Cran, I'm not sure I fully understand the question, but a significant portion of the revenues unfortunately ends up going to the platforms. And they take, so that the segment that goes to the license holders, the tribes in this circumstance, ends up being fairly diminished because in the business arrangement that we have, platforms for the mobile apps end up taking a big chunk. Yes, the tribes will have exclusive ownership over the licenses and will receive revenues from those, and then there will be some revenues dedicated through taxation to the tracks, yes.
Madam Chair.
Senator Curran.
But the $30 million was from all of the off-track, that forecasted revenue was from all off-track betting, so Minnesotans benefit from that revenue stream.
Senator Klein.
Madam Chair and Senator Curran, that's correct, yes.
Madam Chair.
Senator Curran.
So, Senator Klein, and so the tribes, they all, each will have a license. Is there any forecast or opportunity for the tribes? The smaller tribes will still suffer greatly. The So what equity are you building into this to make sure that they're taken care of?
Senator Klein.
Madam Chair and Senator Curran, I might ask actually Mr. Plato to join me at the table to address the concerns of the tribal communities.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Plato, if you'd introduce yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members, Andy Plato, Executive Director of the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association. Senator Curran, thanks for that question. Certainly there are inequities inherent to tribal gaming based on geography, mobile sports betting levels that playing field. So when a platform provider enters the market and is looking for a licensed partner, they're not interested in where that tribe is located because the license is active for the full state. So it really does level the playing field among tribes, which we see as a positive development.
Madam Chair.
Senator Curran.
And thank you. And so with that, so the largest gaming operations will likely have the best and biggest relationships. So how will you guarantee this entire session has been about equity and revenue? And so how will you guarantee equity in that those licenses aren't all dominated by a couple tribes?
Mr. Plato.
Madam Chair, Senator Curran. Well, each tribe, under Senate File 1949, each of the 11 federally recognized tribes bordered and boundaried by Minnesota are eligible for a license. It is an absolutely fair, competitive market. So there are more than 11 platform providers that are viable in the country. They all would like to do business in Minnesota. All tribes will have an equal opportunity to engage with those platform providers. And, I mean, there is speculation that those platform providers may see some tribal gaming operations as better partners based on their existing operations, but it's really not true. I mean, it's a fully competitive market, and like I said, platform provider, any tribe gets them access to the entire state, and that's a level playing field that tribes absolutely support, all tribes in MIGA support.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Curran.
And I appreciate the answer. And then the other piece that we haven't focused because to me, I want everybody to win. So if you can figure out how to get your two votes you need for your tracks, which it doesn't appear you have. But to me, it's really about the compliance side. And we're kind of blessed with, you know, kind of one of the largest gaming regulators housed right here in Minnesota. And so to me, that brings some consumer protection to us, and that's why I'm a supporter of it. And our people are already using it all over the place. They're just masking their IP and wherever. but to me, it's about the consumer protections. So can you tell me, just give me a summary of what conversations have been had and just an overview of what you hope to accomplish with the consumer protection side.
Senator Klein.
Madam Chair and Senator Curran, I appreciate the question. It's a great opportunity for me to speak to what I think is a significant virtue of this bill and a reason that I'm carrying it forward. And candidly, I agree with, I believe there are studies that confirm that states that have legalized sports wagering and states that haven't legalized sports wagering have identical participation rates. So the opportunity and actually the obligation that we have in this state is to legalize it so that we can perform and maintain guardrails around underage use and illicit use and, protect people from addictive behaviors as well. So last week you added the A9 amendment to this bill, and this creates some advertising restrictions around advertising on college campuses. It adds a universal 1-800 gambler helpline on every mobile app presentation of the platform. It adds new language that allows players a mechanism to set self-imposed limits on how much time they spend on the apps, how much money they play with, and the ability to self-exclude. And it creates an opt-in requirement for push notifications. In the Health and Human Services Committee, we went over it in quite some detail, you know, how the grants to DHS would be used to sort of raise awareness of problem gambling and also to create services for problem gambling within the state of Minnesota. And I can dig through and find those, but those are kind of where the bulk of this 50% of revenues will go to sort of address problem wagering within the state. And then, of course, as Senator McQuaid raised forward, there are, you know, established criminal penalties for behaviors around sports wagering that we don't want to have perpetuated in this state. So,
Senator Curran.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Senator Lang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Klein, at the beginning of your comments, you talked about some of the negotiations that have been going on, and I think that, I don't know if I speak for all the members of our caucus, but you definitely have a bunch of willing Republicans if the negotiations can continue, and I'm willing to support this leaving the committee, and asking a politician for a promise is always a little testy, but let's just say that I'm looking for a commitment from you and from your team mostly to try to come to some sort of agreement so we can all support this on the floor like I'd like to see with the tracks. And that's largely kind of why I'm here today. But I don't know. I'm assuming that those negotiations are ongoing now, and this is just a step in the process.
Senator Klein.
Madam Chair and Senator Lang, not just for political reasons, but because it's the right thing to do for the state of Minnesota, those negotiations do continue. The tracks have a legitimate concern, and they are a Minnesota destination. And making sure that they are sustainable is a goal. I'm not ever going to negotiate or put into play tribal exclusivity over licenses. That is a mission of this bill. But there are ways that we can make sure that the tracks feel like they will be sustainable going forward. And I think Mr. Plato will agree that those negotiations continue. So,
Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Klein, again, I'm on the same lines with Senator Lang. I think this is good for Minnesota. I think we're ready for it. It's being done anyways. My concern is the tracks and the investment we have in the tracks. And I know they're not happy with this, and they believe there's a cliff that's going to stop and they're going to have issues going down the road. And that's my concern with so much exclusivity to the tribes. It's concerning to me. I think more money should be going to Minnesota through some way, through the tracks or somehow our partnerships with the sports teams or something like that. And that's my concern. Again, I want to vote for it, but I do have some concerns over the tracks, number one, and the investment they've made in our state and what will happen to them as part of this. So that's my concern. Again, I want to support it, but I still have some concerns about that. So I'm not sure if I want to vote for it yet out of committee, but I do think it's something Minnesota wants and we're doing anyway, so why not capture that? I'm just very concerned over our tracks and seeing more money go to Minnesota in different ways and not giving the exclusivity to the tribes. So, and that's what I hear in my district. I mean, people are concerned with that of all the gambling that is going to the tribes and they don't need full control of everything. I think there's something that Minnesota could benefit from as well. So, but thank you for bringing the bill forward, and it's good to see it moving. So,
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, I'd like a roll call.
Senator Anderson has requested a roll call. Are there other questions? All right, then. Seeing no questions, I will move that Senate file 1949 pass as amended and be referred to the Committee on Taxes. No questions, then the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Murphy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mitchell?
Yes.
Lead Anderson?
No.
Senator Barr?
No.
Senator Carlson?
Yes.
Senator Swadzinski?
Yes.
Senator Drazkowski?
No.
Senator Fate? Senator Gustafson?
Yes.
Senator Jasinski?
No.
Senator Curran?
No.
Senator Lang?
Aye.
Senator May Quaid?
Aye.
Senator Morrison?
Aye.
There being 8 ayes and 5 noes, Senate File 1949 is on its way to Texas.
Thank you, committee.
Thank you very much. Members, I don't expect that we will have another committee hearing yet in this term, in this year. The term, yes, but not again yet before the end of the year. So I just want to say thank you. And I know we will continue to do important work in the interim as we head into next session. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.